Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and I get to welcome back an old friend and a friend that I've known for a long time who's been on the radio show with us several times, and I've enjoyed following her work and what she does. Her name is Peggy Burdick. She is a financial coach and an author, and she is known as the Financial Whisperer, and we'll talk about what that means in just a minute. Her website for this program and all the time is thefinancialwhisperer.com. Some really cool stuff over at her website. You can take little quizzes about, you know, how you approach finances, and she's written a book, and I love it. I love it. It's never about the money, even when it is, and we're going to be talking with Peggy today about 8 easy ways. Get this right without stumbling over the onomatopoeia. 8 easy tips for raising financially responsible kids. And we'll also get to a couple other subjects. So let me get Peggy on the line, and we'll talk a little bit about where she's come from and where she's going and what she's up to. Welcome back, Peggy. How you doing?
Oh, David, you're so gracious to invite me back. I am doing great. It's very exciting to do more radio shows, do some TV, really expanding my message, and you're part of that journey, so thank you so much.
Excellent. Well, I see the journey, and if anybody goes to the website, they can see all the places that you have been featured: Forbes, Huffington Post, U.S. News, MoneyWise. I'm getting lost on the website. There's so many different places that they've had you, and so thanks for taking some time, and I have to confess, Peggy, I'm a sucker for a good guest who comes back with good topics, and every time we do a talk, you've always broaden my horizons. And today's topic, which I am right in your target market for someone who needs some help in this area, and it's these 8 tips for raising financially responsible kids. And I'm a financial planner, Peggy, and I read over some of the things I know you want to talk about, and I'm like, oops, I need to do a better job with that. So you're going to help me with my oops today, okay?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm running on for the tour.
There's still time. They're 14, 12, and 10, so I still have time. All right,
yes.
So first let me ask, what prompted you to write about this and kind of make this an area? Because it seems like every time I check in with you, you've got another area you've expanded into. So what is this, what's this about? What kind of got you prompted to help people focus on raising these responsible little earls and kings of their domain?
Well, it's a journey, and everything evolves. And one day I said to myself, because most of my clients obviously are adults, and they create their own income, and they create their own financial problems. So one day I said to myself, God, it would be so much better if they had caught this early on. And of course, what happens in families, that's where everything starts. The lack of trust starts, the lack of respect. So I think, if people could only go back and redo, then they wouldn't be spending time with me, right? They wouldn't have to look for a coach to help them resolve some of these issues. They'd be able to be self-healing.
Mm.
So in looking back and witnessing with clients how they do communicate with their children, that's the key to everything.
Mm.
Because, kids are basically monkeys. They will copy anything they see you do, good or bad, when it's throwing trash out the window and then you say to your kids, you shouldn't litter. And the kids go, but dad, that's a contradiction. You just do whatever. Oh, no, do what I say, not what I do. You know, all that kind of goofy stuff. out in houses, households. But really, if we can whittle it down, the thing that lacks is consistent in every relationship is the lack of respect.
Then is part of earning and developing that respect consistency?
You have to be, because it makes kids crazy when it's inconsistent. And then it's a huge contradiction. And the first place that starts to fall apart, the leg that gets missing on that table, is trust.
Mm.
And trust is the key to everything. So if you start whittling down and negotiating trust, guess what? You're not going to have it at all.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. I don't want to do that. Well, it's funny. You mentioned them copying and also, looking at what you do as a person. I was talking with my son about his classes and his grades and talking about expectations and work ethic. And we were talking about one particular subject, and he stops and goes, wait, What are you telling me you never got a B?
good boy.
Yeah, nice. I'm like, that's not the point. I said, so anyway, you know, they're little people and they pay attention. And I know that, you know, that there's lots of discussion about money as it relates to, you know, raising kids and having them understand it. And I love, you know, you've got some specific tips or pieces of advice that we really need to dig into, Peggy, because they're really good. And I kind of try to balance between I don't want to keep the kids completely in the dark, because I don't think that's healthy about money. I want them to be engaged and understand what things cost, and understand that I'm not a vending machine, that they can pull a knob and out falls the prize. Or money, but at the same time, also there's conversations about my wife and I should have where they're not around when we talk about it, because it's just beyond really what they need to know or their comprehension. So how do we get that, you know, kind of draw that happy medium?
Well, let's do this. Let's use you as the guinea pig.
Oh boy.
Roll back the tape where you just told a story about the bee and giving your son advice about being a better student and getting better grades. And obviously the benefit of that is you have more choices at schools and whatever. But as I say to everybody, it's not about the money. But here your son confronted you with a contradiction.
Mm.
And you said, but that's not the point. But that
right.
is the point. Because
yeah.
had you said to him, you know, what's your son's first name?
Zachary.
Zachary. If you looked yeah. at him and said, you know, Zach, you're right. I got a B, and when I look back on it, I look at why I got the B, and frankly, if I had it to do all over again, I would have done X, Y, and Z.
Ooh.
So what you've done is you've given him permission to question you,
right.
not afraid of you. Number two, you put it in context, and it ends up being a learning lesson. As opposed to, if you say to him, well, that's not the point, you have immediately, in that moment, have lost his respect.
Yeah.
Anything that comes after that, he's not going to listen to you.
Well, you know
he
what?
He doesn't trust you.
That's well put, and I'm going to put you on speed dial next time that happens. Hold your question. I need to consult. I'll be right back. That's a great question, son. I'll be right back. Hold on right there.
But it's
yeah.
those little things
yeah,
that make
is.
Up their learning experiences, and it helps build their character, because the most important thing you want is you want a child to have a strong moral compass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And you want them to be able to make choices based on reality instead of fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right on, Peggy. Very good. Peggy Burdick, ladies and gentlemen, you see why we invited her back. She's so good. Financial coach and author. She's known as a financial whisperer, and I get it now. I need you whispering my ear when I'm talking to my son, Peggy. TheFinancialWhisperer.com, and the book, It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is. And we'll grab a break and we'll be right back with Peggy.
Newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. You need to find one who has a greater education with advanced degrees and professional certifications. One with multiple licenses offering a wide range of solutions. One who's independent and discloses his fee structure, like independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, certified financial planner, personal financial specialist, and chartered financial consultant. With 24 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial for a one-on-one meeting with David at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
All right, so we're back with Peggy. Peggy Burdick is our guest today, and the book is It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is, and the website is thefinancialwhisperer.com. And so how about the part, Peggy, about, you know, drawing the right balance about conversations about money? You know, I like for them to understand, you know, talk to her before the break about kids making sure that they are grounded in reality. So maybe frame the question. How do we get them to understand? Do we just talk plainly about things and what they cost? You know, hey, how much was that car, or how much was our vacation, or, you know, How much? They're trying to get a frame of reference, maybe, and also, how much do you make? You know, what do you say to me about those conversations?
Well, here's the thing. What are they really asking? They're trying to get, because money is about, in some categories, about value, but it shouldn't then spill into that the value of this person where he gets more respect or he gets more power because he gets more money. That's the problem, how money gets abused, because it does always become about power. And who can buy this and who can do that? And it takes away from the really important piece of your heart. Who you are as a person has nothing to do with money. And yeah, the more money you make, the more money you can spend. But when you start identifying what things cost, you have to put it in a relative experience, just an example.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to spend $100 on sneakers, that's why the lesson of sitting with your kids and paying the bills, that's reality.
Right.
And then, meanwhile, your son, he may want sneakers which are $150, and you know, your water bill that month is $140. So if you said to him, hey, we've got to make a choice here. It's not that you're on, you know, necessarily debtor's door, but if we have to make a choice here, do we get you the sneakers or do you want to take a bath every day?
Mm.
So you put it in sometimes a humorous way, but you get them to see the relative experience, the relationship between the two entities. One's critical and the other one is not. You can certainly be just as happy with sneakers that are $50, and yet you go to a discount store. Not to say that you shouldn't shop at Saks or any place better, but the point of it is you've got to keep it real to these kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why setting boundaries, giving them an allowance, and paying them for certain chores around the house, then allowing them, when you go shopping, to spend their money, as I said, article on the goofy thing. I just had this past weekend with a client on her daughter's birthday. She's 12. And she was hysterical because she wanted to spend her allowance on the most inappropriate pair of shoes you can imagine. Without going into too many adjectives, you can imagine. A 12-year-old was trying to look like a 30-year-old.
I see.
And my client said, no, that is insane. You cannot spend your money on that. And that's a mistake.
I see.
She should allow her daughter to do it. She earned that allowance. She earned that power. The fact she's going to regret it, who cares? It's a learning experience.
I'm with you. So you hit the second one that I already know that I need to be better at, is the allowance. And so, what do you think about this then? You give them a base allowance, basically. It's just, hey, look, you know, this is money we want you. We're trying to get them to put money aside, save some money, allow them to spend some money, and then also encourage them to give some money. Mm-hmm. Do you like the idea of them earning all of it, or maybe they get part automatically and then they can earn more for specific jobs, or should they be expected to do certain things just for being part of the family without being compensated for every single little thing?
No, absolutely. So let's make the distinction.
Okay, good.
Big difference between going in the yard and picking up dog poop than setting the table because Uncle Bob is coming and his family and there's a lot of stuff going on in the household. Mm. To me, that's a distinction, right? Doing things as a family, I wouldn't pay my child to set up the table and bring in, you know, work with the caterer to get everything set up for some event. That's part of the family unit. But going out and shoveling the driveway or doing something with the animals or maybe babysitting, all that stuff is, I think, needs to be compensated in a reasonable amount also. And picking goals for kids. So, for example, if your son wanted to buy a moped or he wanted to buy anything,
mm-hmm.
You say, hey, you know what? Let's make it 50-50. If you can raise this money, I'll give you half of it. So they understand kind of the dance. And then as you go down the road, then you start shifting it. You get 60, I'm bringing you 40%. And then
there
it becomes 70-30, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because, right? So they get to play with it. And the allowance is just normal for kids to need things, whether they're out with their friends and they decide to get a burger after school. There's some things that are good to give kids money about.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I like it. It's good stuff, Peggy. So
yeah.
Now you got to be on the same page with your spouse or partner about this, right? I mean, this has got to be something where it's a united front. So, you know, parents need to act as a team.
Well, yeah, because what happens, kids are incredibly sensitive. It's like they can feel a blade of grass moving in Montana. Because what are they concerned about? Because they're very dependent upon the adults. They're really concerned and sensitive to the stress in the house, how the mood of the house is. If you see on my website, I've got this tool that I stole from Homeland Security. Is there four colors? Turns out this ends up being something with chakras, but I didn't know that. You got blue when everyone's calm and happy. You got yellow when something starts to shift, and it's usually negative. And then the yellow becomes orange. It's like, whoa, the energy is starting to pick up. And then red is meltdown. You can feel that in the household. You can feel it between couples. You can feel it between kids. Every time something shifts in the household, it's going somewhere. And it's the adult's responsibility to catch it. And it's hard when you raise kids. You've got to pay attention all the time with them.
Yeah.
So if both parents are not on the same page and one kid realizes, oh, I can play my parents off against each other, you lost.
Yeah.
So there's no lesson. That kid learns to manipulate as opposed to most of my parents are keeping a firm handle on this. And I've got to figure out a way to solve this problem.
That makes sense.
Kids are clever.
Yeah.
You know, allow
yeah.
them to be clever.
Yeah, they are clever. That's why I'm saying this is great. Good. So glad we're talking, Peggy, because they are clever and they're very subtle. And I'm like, look, you know, I've had to tell each of them more than once. I'm like, look, I'm not new here. Okay, I've been there the whole time, and I know what you're doing. And you know, so please stop that, and you know, don't try to do what you're doing. But you know, it is a ongoing balancing act. I think we get that, you know. And the other thing I think I'm hearing you say is not only be consistent, but be firm. You know, like I know you talk about holding kids responsible if they borrow money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
here's the thing. Parents think, for the most part, that parenting is a popularity contest. It's not. It's about teaching respect. So if you're not consistent, guess what? The kids won. It's a power shift.
Yeah.
So the key is always to make sure that when you say no, and you can bite your knuckle after you say no, you have to hold them to their promise. If they promise to pay the money back in 30 days, you have to keep to them, because it's not about the money. It's about a much bigger ethical and moral question.
Right.
So you get parents to look at things in a different currency, which morality and ethics can be viewed as, then it kind of shifts it and takes the burden off their shoulders. It's not about money. It's teaching your child responsibility. If you say, it's like your word. You and I grew up in a generation where your word meant something.
Yeah.
And now,
yeah.
apparently, it doesn't. It's negotiable. No. If we committed to do this, we have to do it. Monkey see, monkey do. If parents are not keeping their word, that's what the child picks up, and they don't have to. And that's not healthy.
That's very true, Peggy. Yeah. Yeah, today it depends on what the definition of is.
Definition of what?
Yeah, the definition, referring back to the Clinton days, with the definition of what is when he was being interviewed. You know, words have become pliable, and they've taken on, you know, everything depends on,
right.
you know, how you feel, what you think, the situation,
right.
and... But it is all very critical, and you know, some of these decisions, it's just so important to get them right. I got another one for you. I'll jump on the couch here, and you give me some advice on this too, Peggy. Ready? We'll do this, and we'll grab a break. But the 14-year-old wants a new phone, a new cell phone, and he's now, granted, he's got a hand-me-down one, and it works. But it is slower, and it doesn't work as fast, and he's got a birthday coming up. So do we get him the phone for his birthday? Do we get him something else and have him buy it, or we buy it and we pay us back out of his allowance? What do you think?
Good question. I would not give it to him as a gift.
Okay.
I would make it part of an earnings thing. You split it with him 50-50.
Okay.
Because what's really the big message here? The big message is you have to earn things.
Good.
If kids get
like
too much
that.
Stuff for free, they feel entitled.
Yeah,
they
I don't want
understand
that.
The work ethic. So give him something else for his birthday, and then set the phone aside, because the phone is perfectly fine.
Well, and the thing that we're careful about, because it is such a, you know, obviously, I know this is something we can talk about also, about technology being, you know, always around us, and we force them to unplug from it, and we will say, look, you're done, you know, you're done with technology for today, but if it's his phone, it's like, well, wait a minute, it's mine and you're taking it away from me. No, we're just setting boundaries. So that's where we're a little bit concerned about giving it to him.
Well, they're two separate issues. Having boundaries, again, teaches them respect. If you decide that technology is done for the day or done for the weekend, the underlying message is we need to develop our interpersonal skills. And that's what technology is hurting us about and helping us at the same time. It brings isolated people closer, but it also gives people, it damages their capacity to relate to other people eyeball to eyeball.
Yeah.
So by taking technology, a client of mine spent a weekend without any technology. They did board games. They were outside breaking leaves. They were doing things as a unit. That builds a child's self-esteem more than anything else. So for parents to have the courage to do that, and yet kids are going to whine and complain, God bless them. They're supposed to. But David, you need to step back and always say that to your wife and say that to your children.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm glad you're so clever. Because the other side of it is you get to see the way his brain works.
Yeah.
You want them to be involved. You want them to be engaged. You want them to sometimes get agitated. But they're engaged. A lot of kids, you know, drift away. Parents don't make the effort to connect with their children, and that's dangerous.
You're on the money, Peggy. Great stuff. Peggy Burdick, ladies and gentlemen, you see why she's back. Financial coach, author, and she's known as the Financial Whisperer, and she's doing it. TheFinancialWhisperer.com is never about the money, even when it is. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Peggy.
Does getting financial advice seem like a game of cat and mouse? Maybe it's time to hire a fiduciary, a financial professional who puts the needs of his clients ahead of his own. A fiduciary also means an advisor should recommend products and services he believes will best serve his clients' needs, not what an insurance company or investment company tells him he has to sell. Next time you're talking to an advisor, ask him, "Are you a fiduciary? Yes or no?" If the advisor doesn't know, then the answer's probably no. This public service announcement is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back. Peggy Burdick on the line. TheFinancialWhisperer.com. It's never about the money, even when it is, the book. And let's see if I can get to some more of these not-so-easy tips to take. Good stuff, Peggy, but I'm definitely taking your recommendations and insight to heart, because it's really important. I can't go back in time and redo it, and I'd like to think I get more things right than I do wrong with the kids, but sometimes, you know, as parents, we make mistakes, and I have. I will tell you this. I do, you know, if I mess up or I'm a little, you know, I make a mistake or I just am flat out wrong, I will stop and tell them, even though I'm like, yeah, I could have done that much better. That was not right the way I said that, or I could have said this better to you, and I tell them because I don't want them to think, you know, have this ideal of the perfect parent, because I'm certainly not. But at the same time, I want them to be grounded again in reality that, you know, we all make mistakes. Nobody is perfect. That when we make a mistake, look, we own it and we deal with it. And they are pretty good about that. So, but you know, that kind of goes into don't be afraid to apologize.
Well, yeah, but Steve, what you're teaching your children is exactly that people are flawed, people make mistakes. But to be accountable, that's a huge issue in this country. People do not want to take responsibility for their behavior. And they blame it on a whole bunch of issues. They blame, you know, the fact that they are overweight on McDonald's because McDonald's does X. We breed this culture of not taking any responsibility. So for you to teach him early on to be accountable, raise your hand, to be honest, it builds his integrity. You can't take that away from somebody, right?
Yeah.
So when you start to see those building blocks of character that you and your wife do consistently with them, you're going to turn out to have phenomenal children, not some child that goes and buys a gun, which is such a really amazing topic now. But you have to remember that you're building leaders. You're building people that that are going to be responsible and be good parents, right? Your kids will have kids. It's bad times. It tells you a lot when kids don't want their own children, especially about the childhood.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and so, speaking of kind of emergency situation, this is another area where, you know, how you respond as a parent to emergency situation will be obviously every time something like that happens, the kids are, you know, you have their attention, and it's can be an incredible teaching moment how you respond.
Exactly. Because they're looking, if you're the captain of the ship, they don't keep one eye on you all the time.
Yeah.
So if you are calm and graceful in a crisis, they will relax because they trust you.
Hmm.
If you panic, how does that feel to them?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Literally, imagine a ship, and the captain is like he's down below drinking gin and tonic.
Yeah.
So what's the crew going to do on that boat? It's not responsible.
That's excellent, Peggy, because I had something not long ago that came up. I was out somewhere and somebody came up and I talked to in person, and one of the girls was with me, the youngest, and I started talking to this person, and you know, it was a situation where the person was disappointed with something, and so afterwards, you know, I was explaining it to my daughter. She's like, okay, that makes sense, you know, because she could see that I was, you know, handling the situation because of somebody mm-hmm. being disappointed with something. And so, she was quiet, but she had her eyes on me the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her eyes were probably as big as saucers when she was listening.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just a business thing and somebody was disappointed mm-hmm. with something, how it turned out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm like, well, me too. But she was very tuned in to how that responded. I think we've got about a minute, Peggy, so we can hit this last one, which is the fighting. And I suppose we're talking about infighting between parents and about, you know, of course, often about money. So, you know, call a ceasefire, call a truce. You know, is this where we try to get away from the kids and not air all that in front of the kids? Or what are we getting at?
Yeah, you know, exactly that. Again, goes back to my earlier statement, the kids are very sensitive. The kids have to, the caretaking of the children come first. If both parents have that mindset, then that's where they need to go when they feel the tension, and they feel that they need to really get it out with each other. The first thing that, where are the kids? Are the kids within earshot? Are they out playing soccer? Is this a safe place and a safe time for us to talk about this with each other? So it's always the way you communicate with your kids, the way you communicate with each other, it teaches them behavior. Mm. Otherwise, what happens? Kids get frustrated, and then when they want to go out, they get really aggressive. Don't want that with your kids.
Mm-mm. No, we don't.
We want you to stay calm and stay in control. Control is everything, David. Who has it? Who needs it? How do you get it?
Yeah, I've said that more than once. Stay in control of yourself and stay focused. Excellent stuff, Peggy. Peggy Burdick, ladies and gentlemen, financial coach and author, known as the Financial Whisperer, thefinancialwhisperer.com. And it's never about the money, even when it is. Peggy, you are great. Love having you back, and we'll do it again.
Great. David, thank you so much. Take care.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.